And we're going to go ahead and get started with the message today. A couple weeks ago, I did a message called What is Truth? And there seems to be a lot of differing ideas of what truth is. A lot of people believe that what is true for one person is not true for someone else necessarily, that truth is subjective. But when we dove into the scriptures, we found out that truth is truth. And you can believe whatever it is or not believe in it, but it doesn't change the fact that what God says is true. So I thought today I would start part one of what is faith, because we have a lot of people in America that say they're Christians. And in fact, I read an article that was reported by the Pew Research Center in October of 2019, and I'm just going to go ahead and begin to read some of that. It started with Christianity in America is declining at a rapid pace. The report found that the majority of Americans, 65%, still describe themselves as Christians, though the proportion has significantly fallen by 12 percentage points over the past decade. One of the report's most telling findings is a massive generation gap on the religious allegiance front, one that is intensifying. In the silent generation, aged 74 to 91, 84% describe themselves as Christians. Just 76% of baby boomers aged 55 to 71 describe themselves as Christians, and only 49% of millennials aged 23 to 38 describe themselves as Christians. But it's not only self-described affiliation that is changing. Church attendance is also on the decline, with more Americans, 54%, now saying that they attend religious services only a few times each year or less. 45% said they attend at least monthly. One additional point worth noting is that self-described allegiance to faith and actually living out faith can, in practice, be very different dynamics. And I really thought that was an interesting note that they put near the end of the report, that self-described allegiance to faith, those people that say they believe in God, say that they have faith, and actually living out that faith can look very different. So the question is, what is faith? Do you have faith simply because you state that you have faith? And one of the things that we did with What is Truth is that we went to the scriptures to find out what truth was. And so we're going to do the same thing to answer the question, what is faith? I believe that the Old Testament is just as important as the New Testament. The Old Testament is the foundation upon which the New Testament is built. So we're going to start in the Old Testament, see what the original Hebrew word is, and do a little bit of study of that. So today I'm going to learn you a little bit of Hebrew, and we'll just have to see what the Bible says about what is faith. So starting in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 7, we have a story about the two territories or the two nations, Israel in the northern territory and Judah in the south. They all started as one nation, but then they split into two, and they did not get along most of the time. In fact, they were at war with one another, basically relatives fighting relatives. And so we pick up this story in Isaiah chapter 7, verses 5 through 9. And it says, Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, let us invade Judah. Let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves and make the son of Tabeel king over it. Yet this is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place. It will not happen. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. So here we have circumstances surrounding the southern portion, which is Judah, the northern territories or the northern nation of Israel is talking about overcoming it, taking it over, invading it, and then splitting it up amongst themselves. And Isaiah is saying, no, this is what they say, but God says something different. And so the circumstances surrounding that are putting fear in the hearts of the people in Judah. They think that they're going to be attacked. And the God says, no, it's not going to happen. And he ends it with, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. And I thought that was kind of an interesting comment for the Lord to make to his people in Judah. And so I wanted to know what faith meant in the Hebrew. And in Hebrew, the word is aman, and it means to trust, to believe in, to support, pillars, supporters of the door. And in the Hebrew Chaldee lexicon, it says to be stayed up, to be firm, unshaken, such as one may safely lean on. So here we have God saying, if you don't stand firm in your faith, if you don't lean on what you believe in, which was Him, then you will not stand at all. If you put your faith in other things, if you put your faith in, and we're going to look into these a little bit later, but if you lean on anything but Him, you won't be standing. You will fall. There's a song by John Mellencamp from the 80s, and it's called If You Don't Stand for Something, You'll Fall for Anything. And we've often heard that that take. But in Isaiah 7:9, it says, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. And God says, if you do not lean on me, if you do not trust in me, then you're going to fall. And I've often had people say to me, and I've heard this term used kind of sarcastically, that religion is a crutch. I'm sure you've all heard that. And they mean it as sarcasm, that you're weak if you have religion. And I don't really like that word religion. I believe that religion is man-made rules, trying to be good enough to be loved by God and accepted by God. I think the word faith here is better, that faith is a crutch. And if you look at the Hebrew word aman, that's exactly what it is. It is a crutch. It is those things that you believe in. It's those things that you lean on when things are good, when things are bad. And according to that report, there are people that say that they have that crutch, that they have that faith, but do they actually live it out in their daily lives? And so, according to the Old Testament, the word faith, aman, means to trust in, to believe in, and actually to lean on, and something that you trust to be there. I don't know if you've ever been on crutches before, but I have, and basically the crutches are used to take most of the body weight off of a leg or an ankle or whatever that is hurting. So it transfers your body weight to those crutches. And if you use crutches, you have to 100% rely on those crutches and believe that they are going to support you. That's the picture that we have, according to the word aman in the Hebrew, of what faith really is. So now we're going to fast forward into the New Testament and take a look at some other aspects of faith. Is it something that you just have? Is it something that you get from other people? Do you get it from God? The first question is where does it come from? Where does faith come from? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is a gift of God. So we receive our faith by grace as a gift from God. It's not something that we can conjure up. It's not something that we can dream up and say, yes, I have it, or no, I don't. It is something that is given by God through grace. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So this gift that we get, faith, that we receive by God's grace, we receive that, and it comes from hearing the good news. It comes from hearing the gospel. It comes from hearing what God has done through his Son to redeem us as believers. So faith, every time that we hear the word of God, our faith should be strengthened. It should increase. And so it's nothing that we have on our own. It's nothing that we can go out and purchase. It is a gift from God. And it comes from hearing the message, which is the word of God. The word in the Greek, faith, is pistis. And it means to believe with the predominant idea of trust or confidence, whether in God or in Christ, which springs from faith. So it is belief and trust or confidence in God. So that is what faith is. Another aspect of faith is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. It says, night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. So according to the scripture, our faith is not complete. It is not something that we receive all at once. We have that full measure of faith from the beginning. It is, according to this verse, there are things that we can lack in our faith. Jesus talked about faith of a mustard seed. That if you have a faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be moved, be removed. So this verse says that we can lack things in our faith. We may have things that we need to add to our faith. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. So not only into 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, not only can we lack certain things in faith, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 says that we can actually add to our faith, that our faith can actually grow. And how does that happen? Through hearing the word of God more and more and more. Here at New Hope Christian Center, you are going to hear the word of God because it is that that changes lives. It is that that changes hearts. We hear the word, God quickens it to our minds and to our hearts, and it becomes not just head knowledge, but it becomes a part of who we are. In the Old Testament, God said to a couple of his prophets, before he called them, he said, I want you to take this scroll, and the scroll was the scriptures. And he says, I want you to take this scroll, and I want you to eat it. And so they actually had to take the word of God and physically eat the parchment that it was written on. And it was a symbol of God's word actually becoming a part of who they were. It wasn't just a bunch of words on a piece of paper. It wasn't just something that they had read and kept in their minds. It actually had to become a part of who they were to fulfill the call that God had on their lives. We as Christians are to do that as well. Not literally eat the paper or eat our Bible, but it needs to go beyond our mind and become a part of our hearts, which is at the center of everything that we are. So it is very important that we grow in our faith. And how we do that? We grow by hearing the word of God. We grow by studying the scriptures. We grow every time that we do that, we receive a greater revelation of who God is and how much he loves us. So we're going to look at another part of scripture in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 24, verses 10 through 13. At that time, many will turn away. And this is Jesus talking about the end days, or the end times. He says, at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. I thought it was interesting that Jesus uses that term, standing firm. What is it that you're going to lean on when things start to get difficult? And we look at where we're at right now with this COVID thing, and our lives are in an uproar, and things have changed drastically for so many people. Standing firm. What is it that you're leaning on? What is it that you're trusting in? And Jesus says, if you do not stand firm in your faith, then you will not stand at all. You will be saved if you stand firm in your faith. The term turn away in verse 10, the Greek word is scandalizo, and it means to put a stumbling block or impediment in the way upon which another may trip and fall. It means to offend or entice to sin, or to cause a person to begin to distrust and desert one whom he ought to trust and obey. So the word scandalizo is where we get the word scandalous. And it actually means an impediment that can trip you up. It means something that can cause you to lean on something else as opposed to what faith really is, and faith in Christ and faith in God. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Now, in order to abandon something means that you have to have lived in that first. You can't abandon a building unless you've first been in that building. And he's talking about people who have claimed or self-described that they have faith, and then they have turn their back on it. They've abandoned it. They've just completely left it aside. And as a youth pastor, I've seen this a lot. And youth pastors can attest to this as well as pastors. You have people, and I'm going to use the youth pastor method first. So many times we had young people that would come into the youth group and they would connect. They would be on fire. They would go on mission trips. And after they left the youth and they went off on their own, so many times we saw so many students abandon their faith. They simply turned their back on it and says, I don't want anything to do with it. And a lot of them said, I'll pick it up later. But I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and I don't want anybody telling me what to do. They actually turn their back on their faith, and they abandon their faith. And unfortunately, it's a very common thing, and it's heartbreaking for a youth pastor who pours 4 or 5 years into these kids just to see them abandon their faith. But that is the part of scandalizo. It is something that people do. According to their faith, some will abandon their faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, it says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So in the first part of this, in 1 Timothy, the letter to Timothy, Paul talks about those who abandon. That means they know what they're doing, they turn their back on their faith, and they just walk away. Here, we have the enticement of money. And it says that some have wandered from the faith. Now, there is a difference in between abandoning and wandering. One that wanders just kind of has no aim, no direction. They just kind of slowly go away from the faith, as opposed to the abandon. The abandon is abandonment is a picture of turning the back on and walking away from. Wandering is just kind of a slow meandering, not really intending to move away from their faith, but they allow things, they allow money, they allow boyfriends or girlfriends or relationships to slowly take the place of their faith. They don't intentionally at one point in their life go, I'm just giving up on my faith, I'm turning my back on it, that's it, I'm done. They slowly take steps to move away from it. And then they become like those people that we read in the report, where, well, they don't really go to church anymore, or they go once or twice a year. They're very busy. They're doing their work. They've got families. They've got kids. They've got this. They've got that. They've got soccer. They've got baseball. They've got all these things. And there's not an intentional walking away from the faith, but it's a walking away from the faith nonetheless. And Jesus warns against these scandalizo, saying, if you don't stand firm, you're not going to last. His father said it in the Old Testament, if you don't stand firm in your faith, you're not going to stand at all. And so the end result between those who abandon the faith and those who wander from the faith is the same result. It's just two different journeys. One just says, I'm done, I'm walking away. The other one says, I'm a little busy right now, I'll get back to it when I have time. Speaking of having time, I wonder how many of us said before this COVID thing, I wish I had time to do this, or I wish I had time to do that. And I ask you, for those of you who were not essential workers, if you've actually been able to check off those boxes of those things that you said, oh, if I had time to do, this is what I would do. And if you say no, then you'll never have enough time to do those things if you didn't get them done. So I'm hoping that you got some of those things done. All right, let's continue on with things that can cause us to trip up or scandalizo. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 20 and 21. Paul writes, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed, and in so doing have departed from the faith. He's talking about those ideas, engaging yourself in those ideas that go against what your faith stands for and what God said is truth and what is falsely called knowledge. You see, out there in the world today, we have so many arenas. We have so much access to so much information that we need to be able to separate what is true and what is not. One of the reasons I believe that so many youth will go to church or go to a youth group throughout their high school, and then once they leave high school, they go out on their own, I believe it is because they've stopped reading the Word. They've stopped hearing the Word. And if they don't continue to grow in their faith, they will begin to abandon or wander from that faith, because they begin to believe other knowledge. They begin to believe other things that are taught to them. And this, I think, is one of the greatest challenges to remaining standing firm in your faith. We hear so many different ideas from so many authorities on how we should live, what we should think, how we should do things, what we should act like, how we do this, how we do that, that we begin to take in a lot of garbage. And the Bible says, garbage in, garbage out. So if we begin to replace the reading of the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, and we begin to replace it with what the world says is true, you will wander from your faith. You will abandon your faith. And God says in the Old Testament, and Jesus says in the New Testament, we need to stand firm. We need to make sure that we do not begin to lean on our money. We do not begin to lean on our finances. We do not begin to lean on our government to take care of us. We do not begin to lean on our credit cards. We don't begin to lean on our jobs. Because what we've witnessed recently is that those things can all fall down around us. So many people have relied upon their finances to get them through difficult times. If I just have enough money, we can weather this storm. If I just have this, if I just have that, if I just have this. When we begin to lean on other things other than God and His promises and His words, we will not stand. We are headed for destruction. There's a verse that says, when you've done all other things, stand. Stand firm. Don't let anything take away your faith. And don't give away your faith. Faith, I heard a word picture or a description that perfectly describes what faith. And I am a visual person, and I don't know if you've ever gone into a mall and they have the escalators there, and you've walked down the wrong way. If you're a little rascal like I was, I did it many times. But in order to continue going down, you had to keep walking. You had to continue to walk, because once you stopped, you would go the other way. And our faith is like an escalator going down, and we're walking against it. We have to exercise our faith. We have to grow in our faith. We have to make sure that we're not lacking in areas and working on those areas that we do lack in our faith. And it's like walking up against the escalator that's going down. You have to continue to move your legs in order to make progress, because once you stop, you go backwards. We can't take a rest. We can't just stop, because when we stop, we begin to wander away from the faith. Next week, we will continue part two of What is Faith? But I hope that today will help us focus on our own ideas of what faith is. Am I one of those people that says, yes, I'm a Christian, but I don't live it out? Yes, I believe in God, but I lean on other things as well. According to the scriptures, the only one that we are to lean on, the only one that we are to have aman in or pistis in, is Jesus Christ.